We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Ideal Chin.
All right, it's a Monday. It is Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tab with you. Dusty Likens producing the show today. 30 minutes away from your chance at $1,000 in our national cash contest. And since it's a Monday, coming up at 11 o'clock, we'll check in with Whit Merrifield for the Whit Merrifield Show. Whit Merrifield, who now I just want advice and picks on everything in life from him, because we asked him last Monday, hey, you know what? U.S. Open's happening. Got a feel on who you like. And look, I know it was the Vegas favorite. He still nailed the pick. He said on this show,
he said John Rahm.
This was his answer, by the way.
I'm going to go. I think John Rahm's going to come out with a head of steam after what happened two weeks ago. So I'm going to go with John Rahm.
That was last Monday. John Rahm wins the U.S. Open yesterday by a stroke over Luis Hazen. So John Rahm got the win. We'll ask Whit about, I guess, now for the foreseeable future. Anything else he wants to predict? Why not?
Like, you're just going to ask him other things to bet on that he knows nothing about?
On that, or just advice in general. He's got stuff figured out. Advice on who we should look at for the U.S. Open. Advice on anything.
You ever just look at some people and realize how less polished you are as a human being than others? Whit feels like one of those guys. Like, man, you just like...
He has it all.
Yeah. I bet he turns his taxes in like January 1st. Like just no. Like, is there something you don't do in life?
I don't even think that's possible, but sure.
I bet instead of like putting the plate in the sink for a second, just go straight into the dishwasher. Like, it just right on top of it.
Hey, Whit, gonna go play Keno. Wanna give me some numbers I need to write down?
Well, I assume at least he thinks like anytime we all go to Vegas now, you gotta put something on 15, don't you? Both between Whit and Patrick Mahomes, you got to put something on 15.
He's like, secretly, I hate 15.
I can promise you, there's no way they track this, I don't think, but any of the local Kansas City area casinos, I promise you that people put more roulette chips on 15 than ever before. There's no
weight the wheel different if I like, ran one of those.
You know,
casinos,
people put
so that it just won less.
15's got just to be a more commonly picked number. Like, if they were to the Powerball tickets, if you're someone that doesn't do the quick pick, but you actually pick it yourself, I promise you 15's a number of people pick more.
You got your numbers, that'd be a real dad move to have your numbers.
No.
You're not like the significant numbers in life. Like, look, my mom's birthday.
I've told you, I have numbers for when I play roulette. I have numbers, but I don't for the Powerball. The few times a year I actually buy a Powerball ticket, it's just a quick pick. I don't go through and do that.
I understand that there are people, but like, if you've ever been stuck in front of a line in front of someone getting some scratchers.
Woof.
Oh, look, I just need you to like.
That should be pretty. Scratchers should be quick.
That's
though.
Worse than when you get behind the Chipotle person that pulls out the cell phone and starts scrolling through. Like, that's why I do online orders now, because of that person.
Because it's like they never decide, like, you know what, give me two of those and how about one over here? And I'm like, oh man, look, I need you to have this scratcher ticket thing down. That's why it's clear on the other side.
Yeah, well, it's just
numbers.
I need
you to like focus on the other side, decide I want 3 15s, a couple of 16s, and a 4, and we can all move on about our day. But it is not like that at the gas station. Either way, Whit would not do that. That's what we know.
Yeah, so we'll talk to Whit at 11 o'clock. We'll, of course, ask him about his last week or so and his numbers. You start taking a look, and he's been on a roll here. And also, we're only, a week or so away from the All-Star balloting wrapping up, or later this week, right? And so we'll take a look and see where his numbers are at. We know as of a week ago, we're trying to get a little surge for Whit, and certainly his play has warranted a little boost there on the votes, too. So we'll check in with Whit coming up at 11 o'clock. As far as the Royals go, look, they got a series win against the Red Sox, the first place team in the American League East. A nice series win for Kansas City, but as good as the moment was for three games of Alberto Mondesi, here we are. How many shows have we done since we've just been on the air? We're like, oh yeah, that few game stretch was nice for Mondesi, and now there's unknown again with his health, because we're gonna have to probably wait till tomorrow to get a full picture on that. But he left the game late yesterday against the Boston Red Sox, and here we are again. Alberto Mondesi, his body failed him yet again, it appears. We don't know the full extent of it, Cody, but he's not anybody you can count on. I've said it multiple times. I think we've all said that. He can't be counted on when you look big picture within the organization. The talent clearly is there. You saw it for another three games, but the guy's played 10 games this year, Cody, and he's been hurt twice.
This is still different. Like, he wasn't getting hurt like this. He was just, like, playing for 90 games and then having a devastating injury. And look, he had the devastating injury, right? The oblique that knocked him out for a long time. But then it's like, oh, he's back, then the hammy. Oh, he's back, now the side hurts again. And look, if it's the oblique again, you're not going to see him for another 8 weeks.
Yeah, we'll check in August.
Like, it's not better the second time. Maybe in August. It's not mad at him. It's not like, I don't think he's like, oh, the guy who won't play through injury. I'm not like, why, Mondy? But you're like, at some point you're like, good God, would yoga, what would do anything to solve this problem? And look, this is not a unique situation. Teams and fans of teams have been looking at some oft-injured player for years and wondering, is there anything we can do to keep you on the field? The big thing with Mondesi now is you're going to have to spend more in free agency because he can't be part of your this is what our playoff roster looks like plans anymore. Like, if he's going to get hurt all the time, this is it. And it's crazy, too, because he might, you don't know it, he might also be hitting his absolute stride at the major league level, too. I don't know, you'd be like, I only saw 10 games. Go back to last September, too. Over his last 34 games, so a relatively small sample size, but consecutive games in which he's played, right? This is the only games he's played. 34 games, he has 126 at-bats, 11 doubles, 10 homers, 2 triples, 29 RBIs. He's hitting .357 with a .714 slug and .1304 OPS. He's Shohei Ohtani. He's Mike Trout over the last 34 games when he plays baseball. And that's where the frustration is. Like, to me, it's just like, you better start making plans for where you need to spend in free agency. Look, maybe Bobby Witt Jr. is the guy at short next year for you, but that means you're weaker somewhere else and you're gonna have to cover it. And the only way to cover it quickly is finances.
Because you can't go into next season. You can't go into next season without at least having another option you feel confident about, or at least, even if it's not at that particular position, another option to supplement what his bat could be in the lineup. Because I think we all know you're at this point.
Some 4A player doing it. I'd rather be a full-time guy, and then when Mondesi's healthy, he plays.
I mean, we're at the point now with Mondesi, because the talent is extraordinary, but the availability just is pathetic. Unfortunately, his body fails him injury-wise. And so I think if I told you right now today, for the rest of his career, based on his average games played, hey, Cody, he's going to play in 100 games. That's the most he'll ever play
in
each year.
I'd probably take that. But if you guaranteed me 100 games, I'd take it.
Yeah, because that's certainly a number that he's not going to be able to achieve now at all. I mean, we last time he went on the IL and came back, we were going through, I think you were in the 70s on how many games you thought he would still end up playing this year. I was in the 60s. Now it could be way less than both of those numbers.
It depends on what the news is tomorrow, but the fact that it was his side, he was hurt, not his hamstrings, not great.
Yeah, neither's good, but the side would make you wonder about the oblique potentially again, and that's where we'll get some clarification tomorrow. But this is why, to me, every time he comes back, the bar is set low. Not bar set low talent-wise. The bar is set low because you feel like you're going to get hurt again. Like, you feel as a Royals fan, like, you're enjoying the moment. I went to the game last Wednesday during the day. His first at-bat, he hits the home run. Of course, he launched one again over the weekend.
460-footer over the weekend.
Just crushed it. What, the sixth longest home run by a Royals player this year, something like that. And so you get excited about that, but then unfortunately, we're trained now, because you continue to see it, where you wonder, all right, wins that...
Was it the really nice play he made it short? Was it the awkward getting into second? Like, every time he does something, you worry.
When's that negative going to happen? And not negative play-wise, but the negative in terms of his health being an issue again. And so we sit here on another show on another Monday talking about, oh, I guess we're going to find out soon where things are at, and then they're going to have to, let's hope it's not the oblique, by the way, but that they're going to have to be cautious with it again. And so you just can't count on him in the lineup.
What's weird is, like, again, what's happening now, because we're used to him being hurt, and look, he has been. But it's like, it wasn't like this before. This is where I'd start getting frustrated if I was Mondesi. In 2019, it was, he was playing every day, he was available every day, and then he separated his shoulder. And then he came back, and he was playing every day, playing every game, and then he separated his shoulder again, and he eventually required the surgery. You know, last year, it wasn't that he was hurt, right? It just seemed like he was, because he was awful for half of the season and then tremendous for the other half. He played in 59 of the 60 games last year. So, like, it was supposed to be healthy Mondesi. He is back. Like, because he was healthy for a large majority of 19. He had a freak injury. Not a hamstring, not an oblique, a freak injury. Like, separated shoulder is not like... Oh,
I understand. Like, look, you're not wrong. There's a difference of injury.
I'm saying it's different now. But like, he's getting hurt every day for lots of things.
Yeah, and you're not wrong about the other ones. But at this point, no injury for him is freak anymore. I'm sorry. I don't even care what type of injury. It is, and unfortunately, it is a fair label. You can say, oh, that's not fair to label anybody. No, he's... You know, I think I was listening to CDOT. I was listening to CDOT, and he had Sean Barber in studio probably 2 weeks ago or so, and they were talking about football, obviously, not baseball, but they were going through and talking about, you know, Kyle Long, and Carrington called Kyle Long injury prone, which I agree with, by the way. And Sean Barber kind of pushed back and said, you mean he's unlucky? And Carrington was like, what's the difference? And injury prone's negative and all this. No, that's what he is. Alberto Mondesi's an injury prone player. You want to say unlucky? Fine. He's injury prone, though. That's an accurate statement. That is what he's labeled, whether you like it or not. He's also labeled as an extremely talented player, but one that can't be available. And so you can have all the talent in the world, but if you're not someone anybody can count on, then it's hard for me to be as excited about a player with that talent as I should be. I should be thrilled every time that he's available for this team. I am at the time, but knowing that you're going to get a handful of games out. Right now, I mean, this is insane. We're talking on June 21st, and he's played in 10 games, and he might now, we don't know, he might be missing another couple weeks or more. We don't know. Hopefully, it's just a couple-day thing.
He's going to save me from getting slapped just based on the fact that he got off the field in three games.
Yeah, Cody, you did say last week, if you start to feel, the moment you say you feel that you can count on Mondesi to get slapped, I don't think anybody can count on Alberto Mondesi. That's impossible.
I'm confident in his ability. But it's just, I mean, at this stage. And look, Dozier and Soler, they have struggled and have, you know, and Dozier's obviously also been hurt. So, like, the frustration of, like, nobody's been on the field at the same time is very real for this team. If you were the Royals and you said, man, we were going to win 85 games if everyone just stayed healthy and played at their average, which is all they were asking for. But, I mean, with Mondesi anymore, that's what I'm saying. Like, you better start making financial plans to add depth to your lineup. Because defensively he's going to be difficult to replace. Nicky Lopez is an incredible second baseman. He's a pretty good shortstop, but he's not Mondesi at shortstop. So you're going to already start needing to plan on spending more. Because look, if it works out and all of a sudden there are too many players and not enough chairs, I'll worry about that problem when it comes to it. But that has not been the case at all. Anytime they've had to really test their depth on the roster this year, it has not played out well. Kevin Gutierrez pounds the ball into the ground, or they keep sending Edward Olivares
forgets
up
to wear
and down,
or Gutierrez forgets to wear his sunglasses on a sunny day, stuff like that.
Fine, but like, you know, look, they're still playing Hunter Dozier every day, and he's he had a 3-hit day yesterday, whatever. But he was, and that's a good sign. But you know, he's hitting 150, 160. So like, if you had better depth, you could be challenged there. They're going to just have to make plans going forward. Like, he's not available.
Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll give you a chance at $1,000 in our national cash contest. You were at the lake over the weekend. I saw some photos. You had the rocking the bucket hat. I saw throughout the weekend on the boat.
You must have lathered up in sunscreen because you're not tan.
I'm not, but that's also like, I can get tan. I just don't get to spend as much time outside. Look,
we're a pretty pale show here, Dusty.
I'm not saying anything.
I mean, all three of us have no room to talk on that.
Sunburns are—they're out these days. You know, melanoma is pretty real, and I think there's enough technology, research, and everything to kind of prevent that. Like, you can now wear like the aqua-free shirts and stuff like that. Which I was kind of digging your vibe down there. Yeah, I feel like you're a nice lake dad.
I was good.
It was definitely dad vibes.
Fall asleep on the boat?
Yeah, it was Father's Day weekend, and you were in full-on dad mode.
My brother went down to the dock to try to fish. I caught a fish. I don't even know how to fish. I just threw it in there.
Probably a bluegill.
It was a catfish.
Oh, nice. Huh?
It wasn't a very
What do you mean you don't
catfish.
Know how to fish?
I didn't fish growing up.
Yeah, like, I've only gone fishing once.
Let me rephrase.
I've gone fishing one time.
Okay.
Like, I did fish, right? I cast my reel into the lake. But it's like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, let it sit there? Do I slowly reel it in?
Did you take the
what the different lure?
Did you take the hook out of the mouth and everything and hold it up?
No, he did it.
Oh, he did the work.
Look, he was already doing because like reel got a little bit taut, so like I pulled it out and then he pulled the fish down and quickly.
See,
pulled
the next
out.
Time you talk to Ned, this
look,
is the
I'm
conversation.
Look, I'm just letting you
know
that's how it went. You want me to lie to you and be like,
no, I'm not saying that. I just want you to talk to Ned Yost about fishing and the moon. And then that would be, you've got an hour of content there.
Yeah, he would be happy to do an hour of fish talk.
He would crush you if you told him that you caught a fish and let somebody else unhook it.
That's what happened.
There's
I'm new to fishing.
There's very few things.
It was the very
like,
first cast. I threw it out there. The fish got caught.
What were you using?
Mission
accomplished. What was the bait?
A worm.
Okay. Yeah, I just don't. I have no
catfish
interest.
Catfish love hot dogs, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Did you learn how to cast from watching a Goofy movie?
Nah, I'd been fishing like two other times in my entire lifetime. 36 years of life, I've been fishing like two other times.
That's fair.
And it was just a push button reel, so it's not like I needed to learn. It's not that complicated. Push the button, throw out the reel, you know, like throw out the line, and then if something is on it, reel it in. Problem solved.
Somebody called us the pale riders in the midday.
Yeah, that's fair.
Riders of the anti-sun.
Look,
fishing is not something that just doesn't interest me. That's everybody has their own thing they're into. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's not something I go running to the the water for. But it's
his place. He's trying to get into that stuff since they like have a lake house now.
No, look.
So he bought some new reels, so I went out there fishing with him.
If you grew up fishing, then obviously I guess one of those. It's just if that's what you grew up doing, you're gonna love it.
You just had the ultimate dad pose where you were in a boat, child asleep, mm-hmm. bucket hat, shades, Miller Lite in the hand.
Yeah, it was solid. It was all put together. Like, that's the look. That's the whole lake vibe.
I gave Cody a lot of crap, though, for the photo. The beer wasn't even open.
Not yet.
The beer wasn't open.
It was open. Legitimate. Well, there was a kid sleeping next to me. I have to, like,
kid
I could have
fell asleep
away.
And he could have done the snap, like, hey, I'm good. Launch
he had time
one.
For the photo, but he hadn't opened the beer yet.
No. It was like I was just getting ready to switch beers, and then that stuff occurred. It's the lake vibe. Look, you were at the College World Series and got a 12-inning game, so it went fine for you this weekend.
That was fun. Yeah, no, I hadn't been to Omaha for the College World Series before, and you never know what games are going to be what. We knew we had tickets for the night game, and it turned out to be Vandy and Arizona, and I was excited. We talked about Kumar Rocker a little bit because all the mock drafts are out there, and maybe there's a chance that he would fall to the Royals, so you're always wanting to kind of check that out, and Kumar Rocker's a name that even the most casual college baseball fan has heard of or whatever, and it turned out to be it might end up being the best game of the entire College World Series. Just it went 12 innings, and it wasn't a 12 innings of like, all right, these teams are bad baseball. It was there's plenty of energy throughout the entire game. You got Kumar Rocker who got rocked
early
in the first inning, and then he settled in and was dominant, and then late in the game there were multiple opportunities for both teams to score, and then finally a walk-off hit and win for Vandy in the 12th. It was cool atmosphere because you've got all these different college fan bases. Arizona's fans were the loudest for between the Vandy and Arizona fans. Like they were intense. It was pretty cool to see that. And then there's this guy for Vandy.
Might have a good turnout. Like the number one team.
They had their own section, of course, over there. But I think the Arizona fans, we were a little bit closer to Arizona fans, so maybe I'm a little swayed on that one where we were sitting. But there's a guy for Vandy, and he goes to every single Vandy baseball game, and he does this whistle every time. I think it had to have a runner on, and it's just, and you can hear it on the TV broadcast. I don't know how, if I was a Vanderbilt fan, went to this guy's annoying. I mean, we're talking not just like an occasional whistle. It sounds like an actual whistle nonstop during every at bat for the team, and it was.
Would you rather that or like cowbell mom?
I'd rather have the cowbell. Yeah.
That's really saying something. If it's so bad, you'd rather have the cowbell going. I don't.
It was consistent. I don't know, everybody around the section was miserable at the end of the game because of that. But it was a ton of fun being up there in Omaha. You can see why. Hopefully one of these days our local schools will be up there.
And you're already wearing the College World Series shirt.
I had to buy a shirt. Yeah, Dusty didn't like me wearing the shirt today.
That's not true.
It feels mid-week.
He came in. He said, oh, you're already wearing
mid-week.
The shirt.
It feels why? Like you get the shirt and then
the
it's like a
Saturday.
Thursday wear.
Why would I not wear it
I feel like it was set out on the dresser last night and you're like, this is what we're wearing to work tomorrow.
Like first day of school?
Yeah. I told him you probably crushed it at show and tell.
I bought the shirt Saturday. Yeah. I think I've never been to a sporting event like that sporting event, I should say, the College World Series. Sure. So I was like, of course, let me buy a t-shirt. Would you not have bought a t-shirt?
No, I would have.
100%.
Okay. You just think, well, no, why would I need to wait? Like, is there some protocol here that I'm missing out? Why would I need to wait 4 days?
Have you washed it yet?
No.
Oh, great question.
You always wash it first on new clothes, then you wear it.
No.
Oh, you didn't. That's
our Bobby, our Cody and Gold t-shirts, I wore it the first time before washing it.
I washed that one, too.
Really?
So
I'm not drinking out of it. I'm not
once.
Drinking out of a cup.
I know, but you got to, you know.
I think I tend to hold these
it's
rules different
coinage.
For, like, I tend to wash new shirts for myself, but sometimes, like, if I get, like, the kid a t-shirt, it might just, like, look.
It's a t-shirt. Why would I need to wash this first? It's not like I'm eating the vegetables or fruit.
Great question.
Or
this is
like
not
that.
The random question of the day. 913-576-7610.
I didn't buy strawberries.
Do you wash clothes when you buy them before you wear them?
Of course you do.
It's not like I bought strawberries. You got to rinse it real quick before you eat them.
Well, that's because they have little bugs in them. You don't have bugs in your shirt. But you
exactly.
Always...
So why would I need to wash the t-shirt?
Because you got
to
get it.
I mean, it's been in a box.
It was on a hanger already at the place.
Somebody probably tried it on. Wait,
I mean, they didn't ship it in a hanger. It was clearly in a box.
I'm sure they shipped them all on hangers and they didn't box any of them. Yeah.
You could just have somebody's dead skin cells on your shirt. You don't want to wear that.
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's outdoor, probably hanging.
It
dust,
was outdoors.
Dirt.
Yeah. It was like in a tent, though. It was hot as hell in Omaha. Oof.
It was hot as hell in Kansas City.
Yeah, fair enough.
It was like 110 degrees.
We were outside tailgating all afternoon, though. It was a warm one.
New shirts make you itchy.
No, this isn't itchy at all. Someone says they're the other way around. They don't want their kid to get a rash, so they'll put it on a new shirt without washing it. Oh, they'll put on the shirt for their kid? Interesting. The size won't work.
Just bought some gear for Vegas. Straight to the washer, then the suitcase.
Huh. Okay. So it depends on the wrinkles. Yeah, the shirt's not wrinkled.
No, the shirt looks clean.
It looks good.
There's no argument there.
Makes your biceps pop.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
we learned that Gold wears a medium for t-shirts.
The pale non-bicep individual, yeah.
We know that he wears mediums for t-shirts, but larges for long sleeves.
I mean,
sleeves.
I was being sincere.
I have to do large on the long sleeves because that's just the height. Otherwise, the sleeve will be
then you're
before
wearing
the
three
wrist.
Quarters.
Yeah, I mean, that's fun. I'm not. It's not even size all the way through all the shirt sizes or anything. It's a little bit different.
We didn't even learn about Dusty's weekend. It was probably pretty normal. You were the College World Series. I was at the lake, and Dusty just hung out.
You just soaking in some sun or what?
I went to a friend's house on Saturday. They had like a Juneteenth party, so that was fun. We got to swim, grill out. That was really good. And then Sunday, I got to work at the other job because it was Father's Day. And it's,
the kind of place that you take your dad on Father's Day.
Yeah, but it's also kind of annoying because you'll get like these guests that like don't realize that like you're sacrificing not being with your family to be there. And they're just rude.
Ah.
And you don't know why. And it's like you realize that like all these people here serving you are not with their family.
Bad? Were you bad?
Oh, no, I'm never bad.
Okay.
I'm a G, baby. Straight up. Like I got some little like things that I have in my back pocket that I will do when I serve people that have never been to Kansas City. What is a burnt end? Hold, please. They get like a little tray of like samples. 20% right there. Every time.
Oh, should I? So if you just want some burnt end samples, should you ask that?
Okay. that's not every server. That's Dusty's move.
Yeah, that's my move.
And it's a guarantee that they're ordering the burnt ends once you do that, right?
They may not order them, but they'll
That's like back when I used to bartend and someone would be like, what's this drink like? And I'd make
Here's
like a miniature version.
Yeah,
of
yeah.
It. Oh, I got you. Or they're asking about whiskeys. Oh, I got a little taste for you. No problem.
And the best is when you work at a place that is notoriously known as like a Kansas City staple and people don't know what Boulevard products are. What's this wheat? Oh, hey, hold on. Let me get you like a small glass and try it. Ooh, I like that. Wait till you get to Tank 7. You'll really like it. But no, I don't know. Isn't eventful, uneventful weekend. You have fun. You hang out
text
with friends.
Text line thinks I'm crazy.
You're supposed
I
to wash
like
clothes.
I feel like I've washed clothes before.
Everybody does.
I'm not talking. I didn't go and buy a pair of boxers or something off the shelf and put them on right away.
Someone asked you that. Do you wear socks, underwear right off the package?
No, those all wash because that's a little bit different to me.
But those are sealed, so those would be okay to like rip
out.
In
a weird way, those should
on.
Be better.
No, yeah. So like,
but you won't wash the shirt that somebody's tried on that's sweat.
Someone hasn't tried it on. You don't know that. You don't know if they. I mean, the
chances
the
of them
socks,
trying it on over somebody who's tried on sealed draw. Yes, I know that.
The socks that are brand new, I don't wash. There's no reason to wash the socks. But on the others, I do just because of where you're wearing them.
Yeah, it feels.
We talk about itchy. You don't want itchy there. So like you're gonna wash those.
Yeah, the last thing you want is like itchy nipples during a 4-hour show.
Now you got me.
Now you're gonna go home and have a dream about your teeth falling out too.
Yeah, that didn't happen over the weekend. I still think that was bizarre from Friday. Cody telling us
You saw how many people in this text line have tooth mares?
I don't know, man.
I was not alone. We've established. I am not the only person who
has. Here's Gold's burner account. Socks and shirts are straight on. Same with pants.
816 number. That's how you know it's definitely not me.
Or it is. You would get a phone number.
Someone says they wash the sheets. Well, yeah. If you buy a new pair, package of sheets, that's 1,000% getting washed first. That's a no-brainer.
Somebody
you gotta wash the sheets.
Somebody said, of course you wash clothes before you wear them. How disgusting are you? Happy Monday,
wow, damn.
Gold.
Damn.
Wow. Just no hesitation.
But nobody's crushing Cody for not taking a fish off a hook. And we're in, the Midwest.
Nice. Ha!
Yeah. This guy doesn't wash his clothes before he wears them.
By the way, it wasn't it wasn't like I didn't make the move. It's like he was already going for it to unhook it.
Yeah, because he knew it was your first time.
Yeah, he just knows I didn't fish much.
Did you put the worm on the hook?
Hey, hold on. I did at least once. I was just trying to remember if I did that time. Because he was like setting them up before we got down there at some point. So like he had done some of that for
okay.
It. So like I think that time maybe I hadn't. But yeah, I don't care. It doesn't bother me to do that.
I don't know what this is, but if you don't wash your socks, you get fuzzies on your feet. That's what someone texted.
What do you mean?
I think they mean like the lint that gets between you. Have you ever like bought new black
socks?
That's
more for dress. That's a dress shoe thing.
Yeah. You like get new black socks, you get in the shower, and all of a sudden it just looks like
we're solving problems today.
We're trying.
We're solving problems.
Why not? Someone's in the text line. More people are commenting about teeth falling out. That's from Friday's show, if you guys were tuning into that.
Yeah. They said they don't have tooth-related nightmares, and I say that most people do.
Coming up next, we'll give you a chance at $1,000 international cash contest, plus a Chiefs hypothetical. It has to do with the future of one current Chief. We'll tell you about it next.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Just getting started on a Monday. Cody and Gold coming up in 30 minutes. We'll check in with Whit Merrifield, the Whit Merrifield Show, here on Cody and Gold. But right now, let's give you a chance at $1,000 in our national cash contest.
Your dash for the cash code word this hour in the national cash contest is North, N-O-R-T-H, North. Text that over to 72881. You could be a $1,000 winner in the national cash contest. Another chance coming up at 11:30 during our Chiefs Red Half Hour. For complete rules, go to 610sports.com. Message and data rates may apply. The National Cash Contest is powered by BetQL. Win more and cash in with the help of BetQL. Download the BetQL app today to learn more. That's BETQL. One more time, that word, North, N-O-R-T-H, over to 72881 for your chance at $1,000.
So last week, Tyrann Mathieu was talking about his contract status and where things were at. The extension is pending. We know it was a lot more upbeat and optimistic last week than where it was probably 2 or 3 weeks prior to that with some of the tweets and the deleted tweets. And so we felt better about the situation, but maybe you're trying to figure out, all right, well, what would an extension look like financially? And so FanSided went through and they gave an estimate on what they think the contract could look like. And they based it off of essentially what Justin Simmons got.
Well, the highest paid safeties in the NFL
is the highest paid safety. Yeah. And so he signed a deal, 4 years, $61 million, $32.1 million guaranteed. Now, right now, Matthew's on a 3-year deal. This is the final year of his deal, $42 million. And so if you start looking at what Simmons got, it's not surprising what they kind of based it off. Essentially, could be a 4-year extension worth around $65 million, $35 million guaranteed is what they did. And so it's a hypothetical for you. Would you be okay with a 4-year extension? He is, Tyrann Mathieu, that is, just turned 29 years old. And so he at least has this season, but when the extension kicks in, he will be in his age 30 season. I have said, I remain in the same area with him, and that is that I still feel like you have at least another 2 or 3 years of high-level play from Tyrann Mathieu. And I think we have seen his value on the field.
And if it's a 4-year deal, then the final year is essentially going to be an option year anyway, like most NFL contracts.
Yeah. And look, the incentive to get it done is a little different now. At one point, we thought that early in the offseason, there was an incentive to get an extension done because you needed to free up some cap space. I don't know where you're at. I don't think the Chiefs are really going to do anything else financially this year in terms of going out and acquiring anybody. So there's not the push for them to, hey, need to go free up cap space so we can go sign X player. You know, they've got $8 million, I think, still right now in cap space.
Do.
And based on what they're doing with Chris Jones on the outside, it tells me they're not, I guess anything could happen, they're not going to probably go out and sign a Melvin Ingram or anybody like that with the way they've kind of positioned their plan on the defensive line. So there's not the urgency there on that end. But Tyrann Mathieu felt more optimistic. Patrick Mahomes certainly seemed to be wanting a Tyrann Mathieu here for quite some time as well. He talked about for his entire career, obviously. That's a little bit different. He was just extremely extending that out a little bit. But I think if you're looking at the hypothetical, I do that for 4 years. Absolutely.
4 years, 65 and $35 million guaranteed. Look, I think you expect everyone to just like rubber stamp it. Sold. And would I sign it? Probably. Would I have reservations that deal's not going to work out? Absolutely. Like, you talk all the time about like Travis Kelce and his age. I mean, he's a plus 30 player. Last year was probably Mathieu wasn't as good last year as he was 2 years ago with the Chiefs. Now, look, I thought part of that, and you and I both said, was because of what he was asked to do defensively as a result of covering for injuries for this team. He is not easily replaceable. Let me just start by saying that. Because of the way they use him and his versatility and the way Spags will adjust his defense based on the personnel, essentially he can just make Mathieu do 9 different jobs based on where they are personnel-wise that week or matchup-wise that week. And finding that kind of player is obviously difficult. But to me, it's like you drafted Thornhill so that you could eventually walk. Like, I don't know that it's going to work out, but you took a second-round safety because you wanted to eventually be able to say to yourself, we don't have to spend $65 million at safety. So I wouldn't be like I don't think if I found out that was the deal today, I'm not going to come on the radio and be like, that deal stinks, they should have never done it. But I'm going to preach the pessimist route of buyer beware. Like, I think Matthew's an incredible player. I do still think at least this year he's going to be very good. I don't think his career is going to crumble the next few years, but this is about the time when it would, right? Especially for players who play in the defensive backfield. So I would be leery.
I think we have to think about the amount of commitment that they have put into cornerback. And what I mean by that is to what you just kind of said about the versatility. This is why all offseason, as people have discussed this team's secondary, and A, they're maybe concerned that there's a lot of reliance on a second-year guy in L'Jarius Sneed, and then it's Charvarius Ward. They didn't bring back Rashad Breeland, all that. I always remind people, I've said it over and over, like Tyrann Mathieu to me is that second corner as well. I know he didn't play as much slot corner last year, but he played a decent chunk at slot corner the year prior to that. So when you think about, hey, can you afford to eventually pay Juan Thornhill and then you're already paying Tyrann Mathieu, I would say you can do that because this regime has shown they're not going to give the big money deal to a corner. They're not going to invest heavily at corner. And so I think you can do what you do at safety and maybe spend more money at safety than other teams would. Assuming Juan Thornhill eventually gets an extension.
They already spend more at safety than other teams do.
Sure. And yeah, that's
as far as resources.
I think that last part you just said there is also important to realize when we talk about, you don't want to spend X amount of money. Tyrann Mathieu's already been paid like near the top end of safety money. So it's not like this is a huge change on the books. Like, man, they're going to have to allocate more money at safety than they ever have before. They already are paying Tyrann Mathieu a significant amount of money. He was when he got signed from the Texans a couple years ago. So absolutely, I would do a deal like this. I'll be interested to see kind of how they would put together the structure of it, just in terms of front loaded, back loaded, whatever it may be. But again, based on what Justin Simmons got, and Justin Simmons, yes, is a much younger player, but based off of that, 4 years, $61 million, 32 guaranteed. Mathieu's on 3 or 42, you can see the difference in terms of the kind of money it would be.
The one thing I would say is that just based on positional talent, right? Like, you would think that most, like, really talented safeties, future Hall of Fame safeties, they play into there. Like, Brian Dawkins played as, like, 38. Ed Reed was still very good at 30, 31, 32. He was great even then. And while we still think it's like, you know, Matthew's going to need to probably win another Super Bowl or a couple more Super Bowls, he's been on an all-decade team. There's a reason why he was on those positions, why he gets mentioned in that grouping. So he's not so, it's not like to the age where you're like, oh, it's just going to crumble. It's just where it's a risk to do that. And when you start making like 30-year-old players, 31-year-old players, the highest paid player at their position, and they're not quarterback, I think it comes with risk. I would still do it. Like, they'd put it in front of me, and I'd him and haw, and I'd probably look back and forth, and I'd talk to all the guys and be like, are we sure we're doing the right thing? But in the end, I would probably still sign the paper, but it doesn't mean it doesn't come with risk. 4 for 65 for 35 is a risk I can take.
Yeah, I think it's anytime you're giving out money,
especially
for
Matthew,
no matter who it is, with any of these deals, there's risk involved. Maybe the age causes it to be a little more risky. I just think there's been no reason to think if you add in not only just what is, all right, father time, no matter how hard of a worker you are and all that, you're not worried about any of the other factors with it. Like, you know, if there's anybody in this team that's going to bust their ass to make sure that they are still at top of their game, you have no concerns about that. I think we understand this defense. He is one of the unquestioned leaders, not just the defense, but this entire football team. The comment that Patrick Mahomes would make going back when they brought him in, and it was just, you know, basically like, Tyrann Mathieu's the guy, he's going to take care of the defense. I've got this offense, you take care of the defense. And that's what Tyrann Mathieu has done. So we'll see the timeline right now. That I don't think any of us are expecting anything in the next few weeks because everybody's kind of away and doing their own thing. But when we get closer to camp, it would not surprise me if we're sitting here first week of camp and maybe there's a lot of noise.
Sure.
At least on that. Now, I don't know if it gets done then, but a lot of noise on that. And they really did the deadline, if you want an extension, is before, you know, before the start of this season. But he's under contract this year. If he doesn't get an extension before the start of the season, then I think it tells you, you know, how they view him, because then you're talking about him testing the free agent waters and everything, and then you start getting into
and
a
someone
situation
will make him
where,
the highest paid safety.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
like, and look, just because it's like, well, if we're not going to do it, someone else will, does not make it the right decision. Look at like the Broncos and Brock Osweiler. They were happy to pay him the exact same amount of money. Essentially, he was offered a very similar contract to stay in Denver versus go to Houston. Just because somebody else is willing to do it does not mean it's the right decision to do it. Look, I think it's a tougher decision than we probably lead on with, Matthew, sometimes. Because we've talked about before, right? You can't pay everybody, plus 30 players, the value of certain positions. Like, people tend to spend more of their money now on offense because they know that they have to score in order to do it, and understand that some of defense is just a losing proposition in the NFL. So it's how much resources can you invest in those positions? But I still, it's the numbers seem fair. Like, they seem fair enough that I don't know how you would push back based on those figures.
Coming up about 6 minutes, we'll get to the trash of the day here on Cody and Gold. But, you know, it's gotten quiet on the Deshaun Watson front, and a lot of it, I think, is a waiting game. But the NFL, Mike Florio was reporting over the weekend, has not even talked to Deshaun Watson. Like, how surprising is that? Rusty Harden, who is Deshaun Watson's attorney, has mentioned that the NFL, after all this kind of noise that's been out there and the civil suits that still are out there, the NFL hasn't even talked with Deshaun Watson. It's been 3 months. They haven't even talked to him. That's stunning. And the only thing I can think of why that hasn't happened, I think it's because the Texans themselves as an organization are not
pushing,
putting as much pressure on the commissioner's office. Because think about it. The Texans went out and signed Tyrod Taylor. They went and spent a ridiculous draft pick on a quarterback as well. And they, as an organization, have clearly moved on past Deshaun Watson. Because even before all the civil stuff came out, Deshaun Watson wanted to be traded, and it became clear that they weren't going to, you know, agree on anything. David Coley, poor guy, met with Deshaun Watson, just, and it was out of courtesy. And there was no convincing Deshaun Watson. Then all this legal stuff happened. If they didn't have the situation prior to all of it, which was Deshaun requesting a trade, and they knew that Deshaun was their guy, to me, there would be more movement. The NFL would have talked to Deshaun Watson. The NFL might have already put him on a commissioner's list or something. The Texans are like, they know he's not playing for the Texans ever again. So there's not as much pressure there. I think that's why it's been so quiet on the NFL front, and why there hasn't been, in this situation, an interview.
They haven't talked to him? It's been like 6 months or something, hasn't it? I mean, when did these first accusations fly up? Not six, but months, Gold. Months, months and months and months. We're what, 5 weeks away from being up in St. Joe for training camp? How, like, if I were the Texans, even if I'm not interested in the future, like, you know, Deshaun Watson's made it very clear, I don't think he's ever playing for the Texans. But shouldn't you still want some clarity on the situation? Because eventually you're going to want to trade him, if, and whether that be this year or next year, you are eventually going to want some clarity. The only point to what you're saying is, if they don't talk to him and they don't put him on the commissioner's exempt list, and then he doesn't show up, they don't owe him jack. If they put him on the commissioner's exempt list, they have to keep paying him.
Yeah, and that's why I think that's why it hasn't happened. And there's no pressure from the Texans. The Texans are kind of cool with this thing. At this point, his trade value is already shot.
Like, if I'm the NFL, I don't, like, it doesn't matter if the Texans are not interested in talking to him. These are very serious allegations against Deshaun Watson. How the hell are we not have a conversation with him? What I think has honestly happened is This is, by the way, a pretty clear sign. They feel like they screwed up the Ezekiel Elliott news. It was a civil case in which he was never charged, by the way. They suspended him for all those games. Jerry Jones was pissed at how they handled all of that, and they didn't wait for the civil suit to even play itself out in Ezekiel Elliott, and they suspended him, and they hurt the Cowboys and all this stuff, and Jerry threw a fit. I think the second time through, they're realizing maybe we don't have to play it that way, but I don't think that that should stop you, NFL, from sending an NFL investigator to Deshaun Watson to at least get and to the possible victims in this scenario and get a real lay of the land situation. I can't believe, according to reports anyway, that's according to Rusty Hardin, Deshaun Watson's attorney, they have yet to talk to the NFL about this. And that to me is wild.
It's that and the fact that we're talking about 22 victims or, you know, in civil suits that are out there. So this isn't going to end, you know, anytime soon. Apparently the settlement talks are on pause at this point in time. You had the attorney for the victim saying that the settlement won't be happening, at least not anytime soon. So that's why I think there hasn't been any momentum, as I said. It's just that there's not the pressure from the team. Like in the Zeke case you were talking about, yes, the NFL, you know, a lot of people felt like overreached on the suspension. But also you had Jerry Jones, who's the most prominent NFL owner and one of the most prominent owners in sports, period, who was putting a lot of pressure and publicly speaking about it. The Texans as an organization have been quiet because they're done with him already. They know that.
After they had said, we're not trading him, and David Culley tried to it was like the worst possible pacifying, but he spoke briefly on it. But yes, you must be right. The Texans probably, versus the Rodgers situation where the Packers, I don't think, have given up hope that Aaron Rodgers will remain their quarterback. I think the Texans have realized it's a wash. Partially because of this old Patriots way nonsense that's permeating from the top of a losing organization, which is do it our way or we'll get rid of you. The John Gruden model, right, of NFL franchise owner, monitoring. And I think that that's probably what's happening in Houston. But I still can't believe that the NFL hasn't had a conversation with him. That seems absurd.
Coming up in about 12 minutes, we'll check in with Whit Merrifield, the Whit Merrifield Show, here on Cody and Gold. But right now, let's get to the trash of the day.
Trash of the day.
Trash of the day brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Just point and it is gone. So there's sometimes things happen. You're like, you wouldn't have been upset about it if you didn't even know what the alternative would have been.
Sure.
And this is the extreme of that. So there's a couple, I believe, up in Iowa. Yep. And they were driving together. And basically, the husband was looking at his wife's car. And so basically, his wife apparently had purchased a lottery ticket back in 2019. And according to this gentleman, he found it years later, a year later, the ticket was worth $100,000. Like, wow, great.
No.
Wife bought the winning ticket. They missed the deadline to claim the $100,000 prize. It had already expired. Ticket expired November 30th of 2020. He tried to claim it February 8th of this year after he found the ticket in his wife's car. Now, he went on, and I think he's lying to himself. He said, quote, "It doesn't hurt because I didn't have that money, but it hurts because I could have had that money. I'll be all right going forward."
Said, "I have six daughters who would have helped pay with bills and everything else. I'd be so mad." Like, do you think, like,
how do you win? Like, if you buy a lottery ticket, I feel like you check that ticket right away. Like, I don't buy them very often. So if I buy a Powerball, I'll just hop online later that night even, and I'll check, and then I'll end up throwing away the ticket because I'm not going to win anything. And that's it.
Like, I might sit on one. I don't buy them all that often either. When I do, I might sit on it for a little bit.
You don't, how long you don't check the ticket?
If I'd leave my wife.
It might be a few weeks. What's that?
I'd leave my wife. That's six figures.
$100,000.
It'd be a fight, man.
Oh.
Now, he did say
that would be silent treatment.
He argued for an extension with the Iowa lottery because he said his wife had COVID in November. He tried to use that as a way to get an extension. The Iowa lottery said they do not grant extensions on claiming prize money because the organization and the lottery still went on during the pandemic. Yeah.
Also, should there be expiration dates?
Yes.
Yes, for sure. Because if you win $100,000, you're not going to let it go 5 minutes without running to the gas station. How do I claim this?
Yeah, but should I have, like,
I just can't get over the fact that you bought a lottery ticket and you just didn't check it until you found the ticket months and months and months later.
Someone said we put the lottery said we put out a reminder in the final week saying please, please, please check. Look at home.
Yeah,
check
usually they do that. If there's a big
prize, you have a pile of tickets, check them. It's $100,000
in the Kansas lottery or Missouri lottery. If there's, you know, a $200,000 prize waiting out there and it's a month or two away, you'll occasionally hear on the news that there's, hey, just a heads up, maybe check your tickets. You could be the winner of $200,000.
I feel like the fight would happen every time. Like, it'd be like, you know, you got six kids, right? Budget's probably tight in this household, right? Probably not just freewheeling, right? And look, I'm married. It's not like we've got millions of dollars in so if you're making a big purchase or even purchase, be like, all right, what, you know, like, God, we're gonna spend this. Like, if she said, like, God, you spent $80 at the grocery store, I said, shut up, you lost $100,000. I'm not having this conversation right now that I bought like the name brand Oreos at the store this week. I can't do this.
I mean, you just gotta be
every time
sick to
every
your
time
stomach.
We had that conversation.
You
I
just
so
probably
mad.
Aren't the type of people that should be buying lottery tickets, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
I just, if you're gonna buy a lottery ticket and then
check
just
the damn
throw
ticket.
It. You know, what was your intentions to just, they really
know,
honestly don't
like,
deserve it.
You figured somebody else was buying it? $100,000. Oh, God, it would it'd just be devastating.
I'd puke for 3 days straight.
Like, this guy's like, oh, I never had the money, so it doesn't hurt that bad.
No,
like,
yeah, okay. This guy's lying
to
himself.
I'm not listening to that.
He's lying. We didn't have the money anyway, so no, that's you're lying. That's just, you're trying to find a way to make yourself feel a little bit better.
We didn't have the Super Bowl trophy at the start of the season, so we didn't really need to get it.
We hadn't won one in 50 years anyway. We didn't need it this year.
What's the point? We're doing all right.
Yeah, you're lying to yourself.
Could you play the lottery again? I don't know that I could buy a ticket again.
They're banned.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, you.
I wouldn't feel.
You can't ever
it.
Buy one if you're that guy.
You'll again, be, it would just remind
text
you.
Text line said
about
it. It's true. It'd be like Breshad Breeland. You're chasing that money for the rest of your life because clearly that's what's happened with Breshad Breeland too with his contract.
Yeah, he missed out on that,
like,
big check.
You just that's money. You would just be always like $100,000. That's money in this guy's case that you really would be chasing the rest of your life. You would just, you'd be wondering what if for the rest of your life.
Seems like the kind of guy that wins blackjack and goes home with the chips in his pocket.
And just doesn't ever bring him back.
Like, oh, I'll get him one day. Like, there's $500 there, man. Like,
yeah, see, that's not me either. Just give me the cash.
Right.
Just give me the cash.
Gross.
That's all I need to know. Like, what are we doing here? I would be so mad. You have to remember, like, you've never been in a, Gold's never been in like a really, you probably don't know this about him, Dusty, but I think we've discussed the longest relationship he's ever been is like maybe 3 months.
I thought you were going to say 3 minutes.
And so, and look, did you guys call each other boyfriend and girlfriend, or was it just still kind of casual? See,
yeah.
Look, even so.
Yeah.
So,
first
look,
name basis.
I'll be honest. I've been with
I've
been with my wife for a very long time, and I still, like, I think if that happened, I wouldn't let it go. Like, 30 years later, I'd bring it up. Like, I don't know that I'd never let it go. So you're going to have to leave me if you don't want to hear about this $100,000.
Cody would have his daughter and him having a jingle about how his mom screwed up, and they would sing it once a week. This is what you get.
It is true. Like, anytime there was an argument and they're like, I can't believe you forgot to pick this up from the store. Well, at least I didn't forget about $100,000 lottery
100%.
ticket. 100%. That's really every single time.
Watch a game show. That guy won $50,000 on Wheel of Fortune. Well, we could have won twice that.
I mean, man.
I don't know. You better. I mean, look, you're not going to leave your wife over that. You got six kids.
I would hope not. I got would. Six kids together. But, yeah.
Yeah. Well,
like that feels like I'm not
someone who can cash a lottery ticket.
Look, maybe it fell between the seat of your car or something, but damn, $100,000.
Maybe you need to clean your car more often if the ticket's been sitting there and
six
expired.
Six kids, bro. Six kids.
How often you guys clean your car?
Not often,
like,
enough. Six kids, man.
Cody's
six.
Got like an appetizer.
Like every 2 months
chips.
At least?
Maybe. I'd say that would feel
twice
good.
Twice a year?
I would say it'd feel good if I'm getting to
There's
it every
Cheerios
2 months.
Cheerios all over the ground for years.
How do you think, like,
that's where Cody gets
the
his trail mix.
The amount of time you have in a day versus I have in a day is like half. Like, if you're like, I got like 8 hours to get stuff done I want to get done today, assume it's four for me. If it's a day you got six, I got three. Like, just kids, they just eat up this like vacuum of time.
I obviously.
So the car cleaning thing has got to be like low priority. Like, that's a low.
It just drives me. I have to have a clean car because it just drives me crazy otherwise.
I just cleaned mine and accidentally locked my keys in the car and had to wait in the car wash.
Oh, God, that's
I was shop vacking and the door's heavy on this Buick and it slammed shut and everything was locked. Phone, wallet, keys, all there. Had to stay in the car wash little cubicle, which was kind of cool. I got to see like the play-by-play and like the production of how a car wash is ran and what they do. and how they stop it if
Dusty's
it gets too
gonna
busy.
He's going to be Walter White and start his own car wash now
just
or something like that.
Leave out the selling meth, yeah. And I'm good.
sell something else.
Hopefully not getting cancer.
So that's the trash of the day. Coming up next, we get to the 11 o'clock hour. We'll talk to Whit Merrifield for the Whit Merrifield Show. We'll ask him about any more advice, any more picks, because he nailed the U.S. Open pick. That's next.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.